There's an old Yiddish song that always makes me feel a little emotional that is sung by a lot of people at the end of when Sukkot is ending, which will mark the close of the Yamim Noraim season. And the song, the first stanza of the song goes something like this: Vinent min de heilige tag. How do we hold on to, how do we take the holy days? Ze zenen weggegangen. They've gone away. They're slipping away. Midarfen ze zu halten. We need to hold on to them mit eisene Zwangen, as if with iron tongs. We need to find a way to grab and hold on to the days that are ebbing away, we say, at the end of Sukkot. You know, as we take out and polish that honey dish and get it ready for the first night of Rosh Hashanah, many of us may feel like we're not ready. We may feel like, is it really Rosh Hashanah already? Depending on what went on in your year and what's going on at the time, it might feel like Rosh Hashanah is coming on us and we are surprised to take out that honey dish. And then for those of us who have the minhag to keep using honey on challah throughout the season, all the way through Shmini Atzeres or Hashanah Rabbah, many have the sentiment when they put away the honey dish and take out plain old salt again of, oh no, I'm not ready to put it away. Oh no, where did the days go? Where have the days gone? Many of us have this feeling that we'd like some iron tongs to help us hold on to those days of awe, the days of Yamim Noraim. So, rather than be taken by surprise, let's set our intention now and the last week of Elul. And let's ask Hashem for help, that we be able to receive everything that these awesome days of Yamim Noraim have to give and offer to us. Perhaps it would help us to think, how do I want to feel on Matzei Rosh Hashanah? How do I want to feel on Matzei Yom Kippur? And perhaps we'll say, I want to feel accomplished, cleansed, energized, pure, encouraged, hopeful, and in all, connected to Hashem, connected to myself. That's our hope. That's how we want to feel. And knowing what we want at the end can help us navigate the days that are before us right now. It's not too late. It's still Elul. Elul is a gift. This Elul has been a gift, the part that has passed. What is it a gift of? It's a gift of awakening. When there's a specific mitzvah hayom of introspection, taking inventory, taking stock, just like it's a mitzvah on Pesach to eat matzah, on Sukkot to take lulav and esrog, it's a mitzvah to engage in tshuva during this season. Therefore, since it's a specified mitzvah, there's also a special assistance that Hashem offers, and a special power for our efforts to be accepted and effective. That's the difference between Elul and Tishrei and the rest of the year regarding tshuva, where we always need to be engaged in tshuva. There's a special mitzvah hayom, and it's specially effective. How so? Well, you know, the most famous acronym for Elul that children are taught at a young age, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. Elul is a month's name, but it's also an acronym for I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. So it's a month of love. It's a month of dearness. Just imagine if we were served papers and we were going to be tried in court for some crime. And imagine if the main focus that we would have that whole month before would be, I love the judge and the judge loves me. That would be ludicrous. That would be illegal, actually. I don't think you could arrange that. You would be judged by a judge who you are dearly friendly with, right? That would not be okay. That's in human courts. I can't have a situation where I'm going to be tried by a judge who I'm specially friends with and we love each other. No, doesn't work. But Hashem is not a human judge. So with Hashem, he is able to be the judge, the witness, and the loving friend, the healer, the father, everything else, all at once, without conflict, because Hashem does not have limitations. So let's understand, as we're trying to have an authentic Elul and a real Rosh Hashanah, let's begin by understanding there is a din. But the din that we're preparing for is not the same as a human judgment. It is different than din in a human court. Hashem, who made each of us and sustains each of us, he knows well, very well, our personal stories. And he knows well the cycle of life in Olam Hazeh, awareness to lack of awareness, awakening, falling asleep, getting on the train, falling off the track. He actually designed this world with that reality as the plan. He created, as we know, tshuva before he created the world. It's built in. We people are going to regularly experience cycles. And Hashem not only knows this, Hashem created this. We're going to experience cycles of Yimei Ha'ahava, Yimei Ha'sina, as it's called in the Sefer, as it's called in Alei Shor, Yimei Ha'ahava, Yimei Ha'sina, days of love, days of what we would call hatred or distance. That's built into the nature of man, and that's built into life in Olam Hazeh. So, very important point. If overwhelm and shame come up in Elul as we engage in the mitzvah of tshuva, when thinking about din relating to our past, let's remember, Chovos HaLevavos Shar HaTshuva Perek Zayin says, Ein Kitana Ba'averos Im HaHasmada. There's no such thing as a small avera when it's repeated, when it's done again and again and again. It's not small, but at the same time, Ve'ein Gidola Bahem Im Bakasha Samechila. There is no avera that's too great when the person asks for mechila, im with Bakasha's request for forgiveness. No avera is small if we persist in doing it, but no avera is big if we sincerely repent, if we can sincerely look at it. And so our shame can really be shifted when we understand this. Anything in my life that I will not look at can be a threat, can be a problem. Anything that I honestly and sincerely pay attention to has a place. It's not a threat, and it can be used to bring me closer. So we're looking for authenticity as we try to engage in tshuva, and we can feel more comfortable and safe to be authentic when we understand this. It happens to be that students often ask, what about a situation where we have guilt and we are still engaging in this thing and we're not sure what is holding us to it? And I would like to add an appendix at the end of the shiur as a separate recording. What about in this case where there is guilt of a thing that we're still engaging in and we didn't yet, we have not been able to walk away from that thing? So I would like to add an appendix because that's very important when the guilt is not something that's in the past, but it continues to be in the present. Because then we have the Chovos HaLevavos telling us that it's not Kitana if we're continuing to do it. So I would like to add some thoughts on that. That is a sidebar. Getting back to our rule that anything in my life that I honestly and sincerely pay attention to has a place and can be used to bring me closer. We need to understand all shortcomings, all sins, all poor choices come from limited perspective. Limited perspective, fear, survival mode, choosing instant gratification. Those are probably the three most overarching, and maybe there's others. Limited perspective, childish understanding, that will lead us to do all the wrong things that we do. It all comes from a lack of perspective. And we're going to talk about how that leads us into Rosh Hashanah and the importance of perspective. And the person that had unlimited perspective, Adam HaRishon, when he had unlimited perspective, was on Rosh Hashanah. Let's begin by looking at the first Rosh Hashanah as we lead in from our Elul of authenticity to our real Rosh Hashanah. Let's understand, at the first Rosh Hashanah of creation, when the world was made at the end of Elul, and the seventh day coincided with Aleph Tishrei, and we have mankind emerging onto the earth by the appearance of Adam. Adam is not a regular person. He can see from where he is to the end of the earth. He could see all around the entire earth, which means unlimited perspective. He also had access to the light that Hashem created in day one of creation, when Hashem created light, and then we're told that he later created the sun, so we know that Hashem hid away this light. It's called the Or HaGanuz, the hidden away light, or Zeruah. That hidden away light was something that Adam, while in Gan Eden, actually had access to. So that means he could see with Hashem's illumination, Hashem's light. He could see clearly and purely. On Rosh Hashanah, we are being judged with regard to our standing in that realm. Adam on Rosh Hashanah is standing with clarity of vision. And on Rosh Hashanah, we might say, we're being judged, are we like Adam when he had a clear knowing of Hashem? Remember, the work of Rosh Hashanah, as you've learned in so many shirim, is Malchus Hashem, being Mamlech Hashem. We say Zichronos, Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros are the important things to read in the Musaf Shmon Esrei. Machios, we crown Hashem king, so to speak, and we're going to talk about what that means. But the work of Rosh Hashanah is crowning Hashem. The judgment is not of judgment of Yom Kippur, where we're saying vidoy for each misdeed. It's a judgment of where do I stand in the realm of seeing Hashem clearly. What does this mean to me and you in our times? The question on Rosh Hashanah is, to what degree do I have clarity of Hashem as my creator, sustainer, and king? In other words, to what degree do I view the whole world as existing for that? To what degree do I view all people? Now, this is a very detailed thing that can really lead us into day-to-day living. All people and all experiences that I encounter as being in service of my soul's journey to knowing Hashem. To what degree do I view myself and everyone I interact with as being a creation of Hashem, sent from the upper worlds to this world to know Hashem? That is the truth. To what degree do I see this truth? And I don't know if there's a measurement when I say to what degree, but I'm saying that is the judgment. That is the realm in which we're being looked at. This is why this beautiful Perek LeDavid, Hashem Ori V'Yishi, that we say, Perek from Tehillim, Perek Chav Zayin, which we say again and again and again from Rosh Chodesh Elul through the Yamim Naraim, through Hoshana Rabbah, through Shmini Atzeres, this beautiful Perek of Tehillim, which begins, LeDavid, Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Chazal say, Ori, that's on Rosh Hashanah, my light on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we get to see with Hashem's light. We are invited to disconnect from our flaws and failings and rise to a level of a new person, like Adam, who had no past. On Rosh Hashanah, rather than dwell on the past, we connect to Hashem's clear, perfect light. Now, we like to understand lofty ideals, and we also like to be real and practical. The point is to encourage and not discourage. So we want to understand high-level ideas, while at the same time, we want to know how to connect to these ideas in a real way and to see what challenges might come up with connecting with these ideas. Rosh Hashanah is this day of light, and this day where we're being looked at like in Adam's, not compared to Adam, but we're being looked at in the realm of Adam's knowing Hashem. And we might have a Rosh Hashanah that doesn't feel like this. We might be busy taking care of family. We might not have so much time for Shmon Esrei, even. Even at least Shmon Esrei. We might have something even more subtle than this. We might be around someone who's in a bad mood, or we might wake up ourselves in a bad mood, right? Rosh Hashanah has ideal understandings and has themes, but we need to figure out how we relate to this day when everything, so much is being asked of us. How do we make this day work? And let's understand, Hashem himself is handing us whatever is happening on our Rosh Hashanah. If we're inspired and connecting to the lofty themes, that is, thank you, Hashem. That's a beautiful thing, and we hope that's what will happen. But we work from wherever we are. And whatever happens in Rosh Hashanah, we need to remember, I and everyone I interact with is a creation of Hashem, sent from the upper world to this world to know Hashem. I'm a spark of Hashem, a unique one. I refract Hashem's light in my way. Everybody else refracts Hashem's light in their unique way. And whoever we interact with on Rosh Hashanah, if we look at them and ourselves that way, then we had a successful Rosh Hashanah, whether we said every word in the Machzor or not. Now, that's a sidebar. Getting back to Parak Chav Zayin, the Parak of L'David Hashem Ori, we may notice in it a theme, a repeated mention, again and again, of enemies. Bikrov alai mureim la'achol es basari, tzarai v'oivai li, im tachanai lai machaneh, im takum alai melchama, v'feach chamas, talking about adversaries and enemies, and perhaps David HaMelech refers to the Plishtim or any of the many other adversaries that he encountered and wanted him dead. But I think the most powerful, meaningful way of us thinking when we say this parak, the one that kind of turns on a light onto the parak and gives us a whole different experience, is when we understand the references to enemies again and again in this parak and in the whole Tehillim is the enemy inside, the inner naysayer, the voice inside me who tells me how much I've failed, how poorly I'm doing, how far I am from my goals and ideals. Because the truth is that battle is the biggest battle. And that voice is our fiercest enemy. I think we can all agree on that. That enemy rises against us to consume our flesh and eat us alive from the inside. And just understanding, we might sometimes mistake him as our Yetzer Tov that holds us to a high standard, right? But it's actually the Tzarai Ve'oivaili that David HaMelech is talking about, and the inner tormentor who ties us down. Once we understand the inner workings and understand who David HaMelech is encouraging us, against, if you want to put it that way, we can have a much more real experience with striving and doing our work. Now, on this day of creation and recreation, when the central theme is Hashem's sovereignty over the world, we need to understand something big, really big, that will open the door for us to actually be able to do this work rather than hold us back. I matter in Hashem's world. Hashem could have created it differently. A world in which he's aloof and we're helpless and useless, but he didn't. Instead, in his infinite wisdom, he made a world of Imru lefanai malchios shetamlichuni alecha. Hashem says, we say in the Machzor, say before me verses regarding kingship and royalty in order that you should make me king over you. The idea is, Ein Melech Belo Am is a reality that Hashem chose to create. He made himself need to need us, is the best way that I can think of putting it. He could have created an aloof reality. Instead, he created a reality in which he needs to need us. He made himself need that. And so, actually, he asks me and you, say these psukim, and then I'll be the king. Have these kavanos, and then I'll be the king. The encouragement that we can take not to be afraid to be honest and real about our shortcomings and really look at where we stand and really make amends, that same encouragement can pull us to the next step, which is, I am great enough and important enough to join my people in V'yitnu Lecha Keser Melucha. Quoting another pasuk quoted in the Machzor, giving Hashem, in quotes, his crown of kingship. Once we know our dearness and our significance, we can be comfortable applying the davening. We can be comfortable throwing ourselves into it with all our heart. For example, in the Haftarah of the first day, we read the story of Chana, the mother, the eventual mother of Shmuel Hanavi, when she, not intentionally, gives us instructions how to daven. She goes and pours out her broken heart, right? And she's just so sad because she really wants to have a child whom she can dedicate to Hashem's service. And this is not happening. And she goes and she davens quietly. And the words that describe her tefillah, there's many reasons that this is read on Rosh Hashanah, but I want to take a slice of it and just share. The words that describe her tefillah can be so heart-opening as we try to engage in one of the most important things that we're doing, davening on Rosh Hashanah. And the words, it says, V'chana hi medaberas alipa. She was speaking silently from her heart, not in an audible way. Rak svaseha naos, her lips were just her lips were moving. V'kola lo yishama, but her voice was not heard. She was davening silently, and that was an unfamiliar way of davening. So Eli HaKohen thought that she must be drunk, and he gave her some criticism for coming to the Mishkan like that. And she said, no, I'm not drunk at all. I'm just very, very sad. And I'm just talking to Hashem. And she says, V'ashpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. She says, I'm spilling out my soul. And from her tefillah, our chazal learned all kinds of instructions for the way that we daven the Shemona Esrei, that we say it silently. She mentioned Hashem 9 times, so that gives us information. We have all kinds of instructions. And the way she describes herself as V'ashpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem is a beautiful picture that we can have when we go into the davening of the Yamim Noraim, understanding our place, understanding that we shouldn't be shy, so to speak. That even though Rosh Hashanah is not specifically a day to make requests, but it has a lot of time in it, and there's a lot of davening, and there's a lot of things we can do. And while the central theme is crowning Hashem as king, one beautiful image we can keep in mind is these words of Chana, V'ashpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem, just pouring, just spilling out our soul before Hashem. Because Hashem, the master of all the cosmos, and then the creator of all the microcosms, the tiny that we can't see, from the huge to the tiny, and everything in between, the one who told Avraham, Lech Lecha, the one who told Moshe, Bo El Paro, bring the Makos, the one who made every miracle, grand miracle for every giant of the spirit who ever walked on earth. The one who keeps the sun suspended in space and rules over galaxies that we don't even know about. That same Hashem wants and understands little me with my little concerns, worries, fears, challenges, mess ups galore, my stories. He wants me and you to strive to know him through our stories, our failings, our shortcomings, and our victories. And the truth is, we may think we're small, but the Or HaTzadikim in Shaar Yerushalayim describes, actually, our soul is bigger than anything we can imagine. He says, if you can imagine it, it's because your soul is bigger than it. An animal doesn't imagine because it just has a nefesh. If you can imagine it, your soul is bigger than it. Your soul is bigger than the world. There's nothing small about us. May we be zoche to authentically contribute to the fervent wish that we all ask Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. We ask Hashem, rule over the whole world in your glory. And then we will have an authentic Rosh Hashanah. I wish you and your family a beautiful year with all the brachos, and we should be zochet to see Hashem with a clear, pure light. Thank you for listening.